Welcome back, everybody. Today is Tuesday, or Monday. And, no, Tuesday. Sorry about that. My week is confused. Anyway, I am back and going at it again. Going to do my best to get another 3 out this week. Don't know, kind of hard to give you the times because my days vary and I'm not sure when, you know, I'm able to do so, but we'll get out 3 again, at least 3 this week. At some point, I'd like to do it every day, or at least 5 days a week, maybe take a break on the weekends from it and just develop content or whatever, but I would like to do more as this thing goes along, so. But today, I was going to talk to y'all about the benefits of playing sports when I was younger and how those experiences have helped me throughout the years, even as an adult. Just it's more than anything with mindset, but I started playing Little League baseball. I was 7 or 8, I think 7 is when we started. And I played 2 years in that league, 1 year in the next league, 2 years in the next league, 1 year in the next league, 2 years in the last league. So I played basically second grade through my freshman year, and then played a couple of years of high school baseball. And I also, I played 3 years of youth football, a couple years of youth basketball, because they didn't have that long. And down here, we don't have hockey. I don't even think we had, organized soccer. Maybe we did, Little League soccer. I know they didn't get soccer in our school down here until I was, a junior. I can't remember, but I played Little League sports through freshman year, and then, baseball, that is, because youth football is 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. Then I played junior high, so I played 7th and 8th. I didn't play my freshman year in high school, and let me tell you, they hated me for it. They felt like everybody needed to play football, and it didn't matter whether you wanted to or not. They pressured you to, and if you didn't, they tried to keep you from playing other sports. And I'll kind of talk about that later on in the show, too, because it's ridiculous. You know, you shouldn't, if you want to play a sport, sure, go for it, you know, whatever. It's up to you, but if you don't want to, but you can excel at another sport, and or you want to try something other than football, you shouldn't be kept from it. They shouldn't give you any crap whatsoever, because if you don't want to play a sport, it's a waste of everybody's time, because you're not going to want to be there. You're not going to want to do practice. You're not going to want to be there. You're not going to excel. You're going to have a negative attitude that could affect other team members. Coaches are going to have to deal with it. They need to let it go. But anyway, back to what I was saying. So, yeah, I played that. And then basketball, I can't even remember how old I was. But it was before 6th grade. I think I played a couple years. And then I played my freshman year. Tried out my sophomore year. They didn't cut anybody our freshman year. And I tried to play my sophomore year. And I just, honestly, I wasn't good enough to make the team. They did cut people. And so, anyway, since I had I wanted to play baseball, and I could play baseball at the high school level starting my sophomore year. I was in sixth grade athletics, so they were like, well, look, since you're not, you know, you're not making the team, why don't you just be manager? And so we were manager. I was an assistant manager. There were some older kids that were, like, they didn't play sports, so they were just managers. And so, anyway, I was a manager. And then my junior year, the coach was like, basically, don't even try out, just be manager, and then you can go out early for baseball once baseball practice starts. And so, you know, I was doing that, but didn't play my senior year. I didn't want to do any sports. I was kind of fed up, and I had a coach that killed it all for me. And so I didn't want any more. It was almost like more like a job. But I do cherish all the memories I had while I did play. And for probably 5 years, my dad was my coach. So, you know, I'll always have those memories, which is good. And he's still alive. He's 87 now. And we kind of joke about some of the stuff sometimes because he kind of took things personal for a while. And when I was younger, because I was a pitcher, and by the time I stopped playing, I had gotten really good. But early on, there was games where I sucked, and it was ugly, you know. And you'd have a couple home runs hit off me every game I pitched, and you know, so. But yeah, we started, and the cool thing about us, because it's been a while, because none of my kids played, but I had seen where, and I don't know how it is now, because it's been probably 10 years since I've even had a friend who had a kid playing, maybe longer than that, maybe 20 years, I don't know, but when we played, we always pitched to each other. Like, we pitched to the opposing team's batter. There was no coach pitch. There was no T-ball. And then I think the last time I saw it, it was like machine pitch, then coach pitch. And then the kids were like probably in 3 or 4 years before they ever pitched to each other. And I really found that interesting and odd, to be quite honest, because when we played, the mound was closer, and then, like, a couple leagues later, it was back at the regular mound that they had, and it wasn't the regulation like you see in high school, college, pros, you know, 60 feet, 6 inches. It wasn't that. But it was, you know, it was probably like 40 feet, 42 feet, I can't remember. But we always pitched to each other. And so it's like, yeah, you start off and you're not very good, but you get better at it as you play more. And just like with life, and that's one of the things, it's like, you just have to be patient. And that's one thing sports really taught me, was patience. And so, you know, because things don't, you're not good instantly. Most people are not good instantly at anything. You gotta, like, learn it and get into whatever you're doing and actually do it for a while before you get somewhat good at it. And so, it definitely taught me patience, and to be patient with my teammates, and be patient with myself. Be patient with coaches, be patient with fans. So it's like I kind of learned how to be patient with people in general, because, you know, teammates aren't always, like, there's times I'd be out there and I always pitch. I'd sometimes play, you know, I think I play second base sometimes too, and third base, and then outfield. And so, you know, if you're pitching and you're on, And, you know, you're not going to strike out everyone. I always try to. That was my mentality. I'm going to strike out everyone. But you rarely strike out, you know, everyone that comes to bat, everyone that you face. Some guys you walk, some guys you hit, bad pitch, and you hit them. Some guys just get a hit off of you. Some guys take you deep. But when you're on and you're throwing pitches that are put into play and your fielders are not doing what they need to do, like they're making errors or dropping balls, missing balls, seeing eyeballs where they, you know, the thing will go between two players is the only spot it can go where it's not going to get stopped, you know, bad bounces where last minute thing will duck under somebody's glove on a ground ball, you know. But when you're on and somebody behind you is not able to get people out, it's really like, it can be frustrating, and you just have to like either take it to another level and put the pitches where they can't hit them at all and you strike everybody out, or you just have to be patient and realize, hey, if one inning we'll get out of it, even if they score runs and go ahead, we can come back, we have the bats to do it, you know, stuff like that. And so sometimes you just have to take a timeout. And speaking of timeouts, I'd like to have a word from our sponsor at this point, and I'll be back right after. The sponsor for today's episode is Podcorn. That's P-O-D-C-O-R-N. I was recently searching for additional sponsorship opportunities and found Podcorn. I signed up yesterday, and I've already got them as a sponsor. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters to amazing podcast opportunities such as host-read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. They sponsor all these. With Podcorn, there's no middleman. Podcasters of all sizes, whether you're big or small, can browse and choose opportunities right on the platform, set your own rates, and collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivities. You never give up any rights to your podcast, and Podcorn is here to support you at every step and ensure you're protected and compensated for the work that you do for the brands. And actually, I had to go to them to support, and the whole thing took like 6 minutes from start to finish, and it's all within the website. The marketplace mission is to give podcasters transparency, creative freedom, and full control of how and when we monetize. You can click the link in my show notes to sign up to Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities. And that is podcorn.com. I want to thank Podcorn for being a sponsor, and I look forward to working with them again in the near future. Okay, I am back. So yeah, I was talking about being patient. You know, sports taught me patience. And then sometimes also, you know, like in baseball, I won all the years I played. I won one championship, and I played in one championship, and we lost. All the other years, I never made it. And so it taught me to, you know, be accepting of the way things are. I mean, yeah, you want to change it and keep striving to do better and try to lift your teammates up, just like in life. You want to lift those around you. You want to lift them up. And if you do your part and everyone else gets on that bandwagon and starts lifting themselves and others up, a lot of times that's all you need to have a team that may not have all the the talent in the world, but is willing to go through and really grind to get them into the playoff or the championship game scenario. And so I learned that. And then just hardships, you know, losing a game, not always fun. You know, you let yourself down, you let your teammates down, your coaches. A lot of times parents are let down. They still love you. They always will love you, but, you know, they're down because you lost. And so you have to learn how to deal with adversity. And because you're not always going to win in life. And anyone who's been out there for a while knows that. You've lived life long enough, just like me, to where you know there's going to be downs in life. And so, but playing sports, you realize that at a young age. So there is no surprises. I mean, yeah, certain things in life surprise you if you had never seen them or thought, well, this could happen to me. But generally, when it does, you get through it. And then also, you learn how to work with people. Like, I've never, ever, since I've been working, has someone say that I didn't work well with others. Because I've always been one willing to do whatever it took and whatever I was asked to do to get the job done. And I learned that from playing sports. Because you have to work with your teammates. You know, you can't let anything affect you when you're on that field of play. And it's like the same with work or life in general. If you're in a marriage, you know, your wife is your partner, your team. If you have a family, you're a team. And you need to, you know, you've got to be able to work well together or strive for that. If, you know, I mean, no one's going to be perfect. But if you strive to do that, you'll come closer to doing it than if you don't. And then getting through pain and injuries and illness. I mean, there's a lot of times in athletics and sports, you have to practice or play hurt. And that's part of it, you know. I mean, there's some injuries you can't, you know. Yeah, you're wiser not to do it, not to play or practice with certain injuries, and doctors and coaches aren't going to let you play anyway. But, you know, you got to play through pain sometimes. And, I mean, that was the thing. There's a lot of times, like, man, my arm would be back then it was like my elbow. My elbow would kill me after pitching so many innings. And I still mustered through the game, you know. I had gotten hit and knocked unconscious in a game. Of course, I had to go off the mound then. But I had a line drive come back at me. And, you know, and I had to get past that. And that was really hard, and I didn't realize it, but after that, every time I played, if I threw a pitch that I thought was a meatball, and by meatball, I mean, like, you put it down the fat part of the plate, the guy, if they connect, they're going to tee off on it. And it's like, it's kind of what happened when I got nailed. I overthrew the pitch, and I think I was no older than 12 when it happened, maybe 10 or 11, but I overthrew the pitch. I didn't land squared up to where I could feel the ball, and the guy drilled it, left-handed batter, hard hitter, and it was an exchange where I had strikes on him. I had two strikes on him. It was one of those deals where I couldn't quite throw it past him, and he couldn't quite get the timing of it and hit it into play. He kept fouling it off, and most of the time he fouled it off, he was late. So it was just one of those things. And then for whatever the reason, that one pitch, he got my timing. And I lost that battle, and I was laid out, spread eagle on the pitcher's mound. And I remember the next thing I knew was my dad running. I remember kind of seeing my dad run, like, sliding. I guess it was just like a brief loss of consciousness. But anyway, but yeah, so after that, it was like an automatic defense mechanism, I guess, but I'd always put my glove up in front of my face. But I kept pitching. I didn't stop pitching after that happened. I kept, like, games after that, I still played. I didn't let it scare me to the point where I didn't want to play anymore. And see, that's one of the things I don't get about, like, getting, like, them not letting people pitch each other. Because you know what? The first several years I played, I hit a lot of people. We all did. And then, you know, so you got to learn to deal with that as a pitcher, like hitting people. Because no kid is going to intentionally hurt somebody, try to hurt somebody. They're just not. And then the batter is the same thing. You're going to get hit in baseball. At some point in your baseball career, you're going to get hit. And so, if you're afraid of the ball and you're belling out and a guy can throw a breaking ball, like a curb with a big hook on it, and drop it in for a strike, you're going to be out of the batter's box or ducking or whatever, or on the ground to avoid getting hit. And it's not even going to hit you, but you're not going to stand in there long enough if you're scared. And so, it's the same thing with pitchers. Like, as far as hitting people goes, because if someone's crowding the plate, you cannot let them do that to you. You have to throw inside to move them back. And so, if you're afraid you're going to hit somebody, you're not going to be able to throw inside. You're not going to be as effective. And you're only going to have the inside part over the plate to the outside instead of the inside also to throw to. People are going to pick up on that. They're going to pick up patterns, and they're going to know how to approach you when they come to bat. And so, anyway, but yeah, I learned, that's the things, all these things have helped me in my life, like, hard times. Yeah, I put myself back on the baseball field, you know, where I had to struggle and get through hard times. There's times I'd have bases loaded, and we'd be on another run scores, they tie, another run scores, they win. And I had to buckle down and get through it. And the pressure, you know, I was able to perform under pressure, which, what are most jobs? They're pressure. You got to be able to perform and do your job, you know. Life in general, you're married, you have kids, whatever. You're going to have pressures to support your family. You're going to have pressures to do things and get up, even when you don't, you know, you're not always up to it. And so, anyway, but... And then football was okay. Like, I didn't like it as much as baseball was my sport. I felt like I was in control with baseball, and I felt like I was good at baseball. I never felt like I was good at football. It was just something to do. And back to that story I started out with early on, yeah, my freshman year in high school, I played basketball starting out, and, you know, we couldn't do baseball our freshman year for high school, so I had to play Little League. And after basketball, they wanted us to either do track or weightlifting or whatever. It was primarily track or weightlifting, and that was everybody. And I didn't really want to do that. I wanted to, like, do other things. And I was interested in golf. So I went to try out for golf. And all the football coaches started complaining. And this is where I find fault with the athletic director we had at the time. Because he was all about football. And all of his little underling coaches were the same way. And so... basically, I was pressured, and they were like, well, you need to work out, I can't remember, I think it was 2 days a week, whenever they ran, that was like, because certain days it'd be heavy lifting, and the other days it'd be like cardio where you ran. I said, okay. So I tried to do that. Then they started complaining like I needed to do weightlifting too. So basically pressured me into giving up trying the golf route. And I may not have been any good at golf. I don't know. But it's something that interested me and I wanted to do. And they took that away. And they're basically like, well, you can't do basketball and baseball next year if you don't do this. And so I did it. And then at the end of the year, it came to where they were going to start practicing, like, just during sixth period athletics, like that period where they could do certain types of, I guess, you could dress out in full pads or anything, but you could run plays. And somebody asked the coach, and they were like, well, what do we do if we're not going to play football next year? And he was like, pack your crap and get the heck out of here. And he didn't use heck and he didn't use crap. He used cuss words. So I was dressed in my workout clothes. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, I ain't going to play. I don't want to play. I didn't play my freshman year. And I get dressed back in my school clothes, have my workout clothes in the laundry bag, and I walk over there, put them in the cart, and this coach asks me, he goes, Hutchins, are you going to play, you're not going to play football next year? And I go, no, sir. He goes, did you play this year? I go, no, sir. Well, why not? And I was like, I played for a few years. I didn't like it. And I don't, you know, I don't want to do it. Because I played in junior high, like even in junior high I played, and I didn't start. And it was just, to me, it was pointless because it was like, okay, I could go out and do baseball stuff all year long and actually like it and actually help the team versus I'm going to ride the bench in football. I could get hurt. In practice, and I'm gonna have to do all this stuff, and there's gonna be no benefit to me, and I'm not gonna benefit the team because I'm not that caliber of player to where I'm good enough to start. And so anyway, but he goes, well, go talk to your blankety blank basketball coach. And as I'm walking out, he's like, by the way, you have a basketball coach for a driver's ed teacher. And he was my driver's ed teacher. And I took that as a threat. Like, he's threatening me with something with driver's ed because I'm not playing football. And so we go out, and while we go out to talk to the basketball coach I had at the time, other kids had already been out there and were going back in to, like, stick with it, like, keep working out. Me and another guy walked out there, took our butt chewing, and it was nasty. Like, I heard every cuss word in the book. And we walked home. We left. We didn't cower to him. Well, anyway, that coach rode me in driver's ed, the football coach. My junior year, he became baseball coach and rode me to no end. Embarrassed me in a game once by chewing me out in the middle of everybody, and I was like, I'm done. And I had people my senior year trying to get me to play because they needed pitchers, and I was just like, is he still coaching? They were like, yeah. I said, no, I ain't playing. But that killed it for me. And sometimes you gotta do that. If you really, there, you don't always have to, like, go through the obvious route to get what you want. Like, you can go, if you want to play baseball, football, whatever, after college, and your coach is an a-hole, and they drive you to the point where they're killing it for you, and it's no longer something you enjoy, and whatever, because, I mean, you know, sure, every sport is hard. You're going to have to run. You're going to have to exert yourself. All this stuff. That's understandable. But when they are, like, literally keeping you down, so to speak, because of whatever, and they're making your life miserable aside from that, that's not cool. But you can, I mean, there's ways around it. There's camps after high school, there's walk-on abilities. I mean, there are ways around it. And so, you know, don't let someone bully you into doing something you don't want to do. That was another thing I learned. And did that affect me in my life? No. It helped me learn how to deal with bullies, you know. And I will say, the one coach that really ripped me, my basketball coach, he did apologize, like, a couple months later. He caught me outside of class one day, and he apologized. And see, he also went to our church. So, I'd see him on Sundays, and he tried to talk to me, and I'm like, okay, I just... In my mind, I'm like, okay, so you want to act all hunky-dory now, and, you know, but it's okay for you to say those words to me when you're in a coach's role, but now you're acting all, like, buddy-buddy and Mr. Super Christian, and I walked away, because I was like, he can't do nothing to me. I'm not going to be disrespectful to him. But I don't have to talk to him, so I ignore him and walk away. And so he caught me, and that actually made a huge impression on me, because we got square with each other, and he saw that, hey, it ain't because I'm a wuss or whatever, it's because I want to do other things, and here's why. And so we were cool, and you know, I did appreciate that. But anyway, this is running long. I'm going to get off of here. But thank y'all for listening, and I'll talk to y'all soon. I'm out.